Hello, I'm Priya Bates, President of Inner Strength Communication based in Toronto, Canada.
And I'm Adwita Patel, Director of Comms Rebel based in Manchester, UK.
And we're co-founders of A Leader Like Me.
We've also recently published a book with Kogan Page called Building a Culture of Inclusivity: Effective Internal Communication for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
In season three of our podcast, we will introduce you to diverse voices where we talk about the role of communication personally and professionally in building inclusive cultures.
We hope you enjoy our podcast.
In this episode, we talk to Vardeep Edwards, who runs an agency called Branding Fox, where she helps ambitious founders and purpose-led organizations transform their brands into powerful and memorable identities.
I've worked with Vardeep a number of times, and she supported Priya and I with our diversity in PR branding. And she is an absolutely wonderful graphic designer and just understands what we needed when we're promoting our conference. Vardeep also hosts a podcast with Rupa, and I was actually on their podcast not so long ago, and it's called Courageous Conversations. And this is where they interview underrepresented women, founders of agencies and consultancies about their experience of starting a business. And so she is an incredible character. You need to follow her if you don't so do so already, sorry. And I'm sure you'll enjoy this conversation as well.
Hello. Today, we are very lucky to have the fabulous Vardeep Edwards from the Branding Fox on our podcast episode. Vardeep and I met at an event a couple of years ago, wasn't it, Vardeep? It was a Chris Ducker event. Those of you who don't know Chris Ducker, he's a personal brand coach. And Vardeep was sat on one of the tables in the event. And I think we just had a nice chat then. We kind of stayed in touch since then. And then I brought Vardeep into an event I host in the UK, Manchester, called Unleash Your Inner Rebel. And she was responsible for the incredible branding for that event. And Vardeep also very kindly supported Priya's and my event for diversity in PR, which we held in October 2022. So we're chatting to Vardeep today to find out more about Vardeep herself, but also about her business and what inspires her as a female founder, but also somebody who is from a South Asian heritage. So, hello, Vardeep. Welcome.
Oh, hi. Hi, both. Thank you for having me today. Very excited to be part of your podcast.
Oh, thank you for being here. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you got started with Branding Fox?
Yes, so I started the Branding Fox. I think it's coming up to 5 years. It will be soon. And I help ambitious founders and organizations with their branding to help create a compelling and cohesive brand identity for them. So my background has been in graphic design, so it's been a bit of a natural progression to then being part of branding and brand identity. I'd always done graphic design, so it's what I wanted to do at school as well. So I don't know whether that's lucky or unlucky. I've stayed with it ever since. So I kind of realized that was where my passion and my interests were from quite early on. So that is the career path that I pursued throughout education and throughout my career journey as well. And yeah, as a graphic designer, I kind of done quite a varied work up until starting the Branding Fox. Worked in-house for employers in studios, and I've freelanced as well now for quite a long time. A whole host of range of different types of projects, print, digital, website, events, campaigns, advertising, you name it. You kind of get thrown in the deep end when you're a freelancer and do sort of anything and everything. But I transitioned to branding a few years ago because I felt like there was a gap, there was a missing part that quite a lot of businesses and organizations are starting to notice it weren't really considering. And it came off the back of me joining this online social media world and noticing that there wasn't a huge amount of differentiation sometimes between people's content, the way they looked, how they came across. And once I started looking into that a bit more, I found that branding was this missing link. And that kind of then suddenly things clicked into place for me, basically. I suddenly realized I'd had this interest. I'm interested in psychology. I'm interested in design and how it supports the way we perceive messages and communications. So it's always been an interest of mine, how design can influence and shape those decisions, as well as the way it's portrayed. But also, you know, the psychology side of it is how, you know, under the surface and on a more emotional level, how we really connect with those brands. And suddenly there was something else, you know, at play there. So that's kind of been my journey into sort of where I am today. And there's still so much to learn. it's a lot. But
now, Vardeep, you know, as communication professionals and you as a graphic designer, we're so used to people coming to us and telling us to make it look pretty. Yeah. Without doing the work that's required from a discovery perspective and a strategy perspective to identify who we are. What's the process look like for you?
Yeah, so that was one of the turning points actually for me, because a few years ago, I think I ended up doing quite a lot of identity work for similar types of industries. And, you know, I kind of got to a point, well, how do I make them different from each other? What is it that's going to make them different? And it was around that sort of time that I kind of really got into branding and understanding what that place was. But that took me to brand strategy. So that is that discovery process of really trying to understand who you are as a brand and what's different about you. But it's also about learning what's at your core, because the reason why I think it's relevant today is because people are connecting with brands on a more values level, as well as their purpose and their mission. And that's something that you can't just tell people what it is. It's kind of got to be part of the living, breathing part of what you do as an organization and as a business. So it's brand strategy. What I believe is it's finding that core and that heart of what you're about, and then looking at how best to communicate that through your visuals as well as through your verbal as well.
Do you find, Vardeep, in your work that the kind of the requests have changed in terms of what people are looking for? Because as you can imagine, over the last few years, there's been lots of discussion around inclusion. What does that mean? What does that look like? We want everyone to feel included in our brand, in our vision, in our mission. In your opinion, and some of the discussions you've had with your clients, have conversations started to shift a bit more? Are people being more inquisitive about what is inclusion? You know, what is an inclusive brand? How do we make sure we're not inadvertently excluding somebody by choosing the words that we use or the colours that we use? Are you seeing more of that in your work?
That's a really interesting question, actually. And surprisingly, I don't get asked about that a huge amount. But I do feel that being from a diverse background, I think I'm more aware of it. So I'd like to make sure that, for example, when I'm thinking about visuals for a client, it's representative and taking into account the culture that particular brand sits in as well. Mm-hmm. And in terms of their target audience and what that means to that audience. So I'm not necessarily putting inclusion at the forefront in terms of that, but depending on that target audience, it's thinking about what their needs and wants are. So then you might need to consider more factors like that.
Now, talk to me a little bit, Vardeep, about the importance of color. You know, I know that when I was building Inner Strength, the red was really about being, you know, strong and bold and you know, vibrant. Advita, you know, with her comms rebel, which is really out there with the, some of the colors that she uses that really say, here I am.
Yeah.
And I'm different. Right. And
then we had your right punch.
Exactly. And we had to think about how we combine that when we started thinking about a leader like me. How do we bring a little bit of both of us in there? But what do the colors mean something? There's a lot of things you can Google and say, let's think about what color I'm going for and what kind of feel I'm going for. Do you go through that process?
Yeah, I think some of that is quite intuitive now. And there are some sort of general themes in terms of how certain colours are interpreted. So yes, so like the strong reds or the bold colours, they're going to create a bit more excitement or impact. But I think it's also important to take into account the landscape that that particular brand stands in. So for example, you know, if you've got, I don't know, some soap powders, for example, in a supermarket, the majority of them might use blue, green and white. And then if you're going to be launching a brand, perhaps they want to be out there, a bit more of a rebel. They don't want to follow the pack. So then you've got to think about, well, we don't have to conform. Because, yeah, so what if 90% of the people do that? We're the other 10%. So therefore, I think it's a bit relative sometimes. Mm. So you do have to take the general ideas behind those colours and associations, but then you have to put it in sort of the market landscape for that particular business, yeah. I think, as well.
Do you know, it's really interesting hear you say that. When I first launched Comms Rebel, I had a wonderful person who kind of helped me with my initial branding. But I remember sitting with her and having a conversation, and it was very kind of cautious, which is so weird when it's about rebelliousness, yeah. The cautious rebel, which is quite interesting. And my colour scheme was quite muted at the time. So I had the kind of big flashing purple, which I absolutely loved, or the hot, like the, it's more like a hot pinky as opposed to purple. But the supporting colours were like mint green and a peach, you know, those quite muted colours. And it, I suppose at that time, I was a little bit frightened about being too bold, which is really ironic considering where I am today. But I, and it really did shift the way I behaved, though. You know, when my website was sorted and it had the kind of muted green and the peach, I felt like I wasn't really living up to my values and who I was. And it wasn't until I spoke to somebody only last year, actually, early last year, who said to me, oh, you know, it's really, I had a look around on your website. And what's really interesting is that your website doesn't reflect your personality. Like, your website is quite safe and it's quite muted. But when I meet you in person, you're quite vibrant and energetic and quite, you know, quite bold with some of your behaviours. And that really resonated with me. And I was like, you know what? They're so right. And it made me really reflect on personal brand and who it is that we want to be. Because we talk about the big brands, obviously, the washing powder example. But I mean, you know, it'll be great to get your insight on this in terms of our own personality and brand as a, either as, you know, either as a consultancy like Priya and I run and what you run, or even as an individual, you know, what do you want to be seen as? And we talk more about behaviors, which is really important. But I don't think we talk as openly about colours that we may associate with our personality. Do you find that in the kind of conversations that you have?
Yeah, you know, totally. I've worked with quite a lot of founders and it's just them starting out in their business or very early on in their business anyway. And when I've worked with some of them and then kind of worked through the whole branding, and this is what your brand could be like, this is what it can look like, this is what we can name you, and working through that whole process, sometimes there's a little bit of resistance and also time to adjust and accept it as well, because suddenly you're giving yourself another identity. And I say because the you know, the one person bands or brands, because you're so linked to that particular business at that time. It's not like you're running a corporation and there's 50 to 100 employees and you can take a bit of a step back. But when they're so early on in building that brand, it's really, there's a big emotional attachment to it as well. And it's, and it's kind of having to be able to step into the shoes of what this new brand personality is and what you're saying to the world. And it can sometimes take a little bit of adjustment, I find, for some people to get there.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I remember meeting this guy called Jay Baer, who's a marketing kind of guru. I don't know. Probably he's a guru. And he speaks about a presence, right? And the work that Priya and I do, and with the women that we work with specifically, we talk about taking up space. You know, we talk about confidence and we talk about, you know, establishing your voice in this kind of really noisy world that we're in. And we talk about, those are the behaviors that I mentioned, but I honestly strongly believe that the way we look sometimes in terms of the colours that we bring in our lives. And I obviously I'm biased because I'm very much about brightness, you know, as some of you may know, like I wear bright jackets and the branding is quite bold and bright, but it's really noticeable. And people will always spot me in a crowd when I've got one of my bright jackets on, or if I'm, you know, as you know, with Unleash Your Inner Rebel, the bright branding on that really stood out in the hall. And I suppose it's down to confidence as well, right? On how much, you know, because so many of our women hide away when we first meet them, and they're quite closed off to kind of being out there. And I would love to, you know, I would love for them to kind of embrace that part of them and say, you know, I'm here and I'm taking up space. And I do think that color feel is just as important as the behaviors and the words that we have, I would say.
I'd also imagine part of it is also very linked to your personality. I've got two girls who are vastly different from one another. You know, one is the introvert who's very thoughtful, and she's probably more pale colors and things that where it's not look at me. Whereas I've got another one who's, you know, just did a presentation in a sea of navies and blacks. She was in fuchsia pink, right? And that was, she's that personality, that extrovert that is bold. They're both effective, but in their own ways. So it really, I don't know. That's one of the things I'd probably say is it's not a right or wrong.
No, not at all. No, there's no right or wrong about it, but it is linked to, I think, how you show up. Because if you don't feel like that brand identity, for example, that brand really represents who you are, there is that potential of kind of hiding a little bit. Whereas when you feel connected to it, you're more likely to promote, to communicate, to talk to people, be enthusiastic, be passionate. You know, you have all these more positive emotions associated with it because it feels like it's you and you want to tell people about it. So it's quite interesting. And I think that's where I like the psychology side of it, because it is quite emotionally linked.
Absolutely. Yeah,
it's really interesting. I mean, that side of things we could talk about forever. You mentioned, I mentioned at the start of all of this that, you know, you are a female founder of South Asian Heritage. And when we first spoke in the early days, you know, we don't see, like Priya and I, both of us in internal comms, don't see many women who look like us in the industry. Have you found that in the graphic design world? You know, have you come across many underrepresented women who are doing what you're doing? And if so, how does that make you feel? And if not, then how are you kind of helping them along, I suppose?
Yeah, I didn't see anybody like me growing up at all. I was one of two girls who did the GCSE for design tech. And it wasn't until I went to university that there were more mixed genders, even through A-levels as well. I mean, it wasn't really a design A-level, so I suppose it was a bit more general. But degree was probably the first inkling of having mixed students, but all my tutors were male, and certainly no Asian women. And then when I started in the world of work, pretty much I think all my design directors, creative directors were all male as well. I didn't really notice or think anything of it until maybe a few years ago, really. And I still don't see many women like me at all in this space. And I think because I've transitioned as well from design to branding, even less so. And, you know, even all the books and the people I follow, the majority of them are male. And there's nothing to say that there's anything wrong with that, because I learn a lot from all the people I follow and in the circles that I kind of communicate in and learn about my industry. But I don't see many women like me at all in my line of work, and haven't done quite a lot in my career journey.
So I wonder how much of that is driven by culture, mm-hmm. and what our organization, our cultures and our parents and our families value. You know, we joke around with, you know, the high school students that my kids hang out with that it's doctor, lawyer, engineer, disappointment. And I'm going to be speaking with one of her friends who is starting to kind of realize that that's, even though she applied to those university programs and college programs, she was going in the wrong direction. So now she wants some advice and wants to learn what I do. And that's really different, you know, and her parents are being very supportive of that. So I think things are changing, but it's still taken a while. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that any of my other cousins did a creative career. I've got quite a few cousins, by the way, so I'm trying to sort of go through my mind if I can think of anyone. But yeah, it's really tricky, isn't it? Because I don't want to downplay my family or give them a negative spin in any form. But I think because I'm first born, so the generation, my mum and dad's generation, were all immigrated from other countries to here. So I think also there was an underlying kind of security for their children to do well in careers that they thought would help them to do well. And so I think part of that is understanding the education of a creative type career, because when I said I wanted to do art A level, I think I remember somebody saying to me, but what are you going to do with that? And but, you know, for me, that I just knew that was my passion. I knew, yeah. I'd known since school I wanted to pursue design. And actually it was one of my aunties who suggested a career in graphic design after she saw me drawing various letter forms on a weekend, you know, and I didn't have any homework. That's what I did. And I didn't know what graphic design was until she put the thought in my mind. But that was it. And I was like, yep, that's what I'm doing. That's exactly what I want to do. But yeah, it's not widely accepted, because, and I think part of that comes down to understanding. And like you say, I've kind of transitioning into more branding side than straight up graphic design, which I still do, but it's a more broader under the banner of branding. That's even less understood. But part of that is because I think it's been under the umbrella of marketing for so many years. So it's still kind of new, I suppose. Yeah. But yeah, to kind of go back to your question of how that's changing, absolutely, I think it's changing. I think careers and jobs are becoming more fluid, and I've got two children as well, and I think there's more hybrid or collaborative type topics and subjects going forward, because we've got AI, we've got progressive tech. You know, we don't know what the work landscape is going to be like in the next 10 to 15 years, and I think they're going to be the ones who are going to be working in that. So I think it's more beneficial to be open to what that looks like rather than base it on what we know.
Yeah. And I think, you know, representation plays a big part in that as well. And if I think back to when I was choosing my degree, my parents didn't know anybody in comms or PR or media. You know, that was for a certain type of white person who came from a privileged background. That was their whole perception of it as well. You know, apart from, I think, Trevor McDonald, in the UK News of 10, he read the news. He was one of very few people of colour, black man. But apart from that, they never saw anyone like me in that profession. So they wouldn't have even considered me for it. You know, so when I was choosing my degree, there was no real choice. You know, I wasn't smart enough to be a medical doctor. You know, I wasn't interested enough or clever enough, I suppose, to do pharmacy. So IT. I always feel like it's like the next step. And I was interested in tech, but my, you know, there was no guidance. You know, it was great that your auntie kind of put that idea in your head and said, oh, graphic designs, and, you know, that could be something for you. But there wasn't really much choice in our family. Like, you knew what you knew. And I do not in any way blame my parents for any of this, because as immigrants coming from Kenya in India, they had to find their path in this foreign country where they were treated appallingly in the 70s, you know, and you were told at that time you're not allowed to work here because of your ethnicity or your race or your gender. So they worked hard to allow me and my sister freedom, but they wanted to make sure that we were doing things that would reap the benefits, you know, eventually. And I do think, to your point, Vadi, with our generation and the kids that we bring up and support, I would hope, will have more choice, because they see more representation, like people like yourself or Priya and I. So I hope that if anyone is listening to this podcast today and is worried about the future gen, or should they be doing this, should they be doing that, I would say feel excited about what the future is going to bring. You know, progressive tech, AI, ChatGPT, the creativity and the inquisitiveness and the curiosity of this new generation, the Gen Zs, is just mind-blowing. You know, when I talk to these 18, 19, 20 year olds, I mean, Priya's daughter is a classic example, yes, of a young woman who is 17 years old and has launched an incredible organization, which is just, I would never have thought of doing anything like that at 17. I just wouldn't. And I just think it's inspiring what Mary and her friend have done in Canada. Do you want to just share a little bit about that, Priya? Because I think it might be important.
Yes, they started, they got a grant from the Canadian government to start an organization called Limitless. They're focused on equity, especially menstrual equity, and empowerment.
I think, and, you know, seeing the kind of the images and the conference that they hosted, it brings you hope, right? It brings you hope that there's young women who are so determined to help change and to make sure that no one else has to go through inequalities and inequities in what they do. And I think the work that you do to help people build their confidence about who they are, because branding is so underestimated sometimes, I think, by people, but it's so powerful, which is why I asked you at the start about inclusivity. Now, do people talk about inclusive? And I know you haven't had much discussion around that, but you bring that to the table when you're having that discussion. Mm-hmm. But I do think, and it'll be really interesting in your experience over the next, you know, few years or so, if that discussion changes more. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, how do we represent this brand so we make sure that we're inclusive to as many people as we can be?
Yeah. Here's something I would like to ask, Vardeep. You were talking, Advita, about inclusivity. You know, what we've seen over the last few years, you know, sometimes some people consider it performative, some people don't, but the organizations that change their logos, mm-hmm, to support Pride or support Black Lives Matter or support like Orange Shirt Day here in Canada, you know, there's this movement to say, let's just change the logo. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it has to be done quite sensitively, because sometimes it has backfired for some of the bigger brands, depending on the association or people that they might have to get involved. But I think on the whole, it's a good idea, especially for the big brands, to get that voice out there and get those voices represented and heard, and to bring that awareness because of the influence that these big brands can have. I think potentially there's more. I think there's probably lots more that they could do on that. And I'd be really interested to see how some of the bigger brands tackle more representation beyond the most obvious ones. But it kind of needs to be backed up with that authenticity behind it as well. So rather than it just being to make us look good, no, what are you actually doing then to support those causes? Because you don't want it to be that they just change their logo and have that week of promotion, but they're not actually doing anything to support that group of people in any shape or form. That's why what I said earlier about how brand purpose and mission and values are becoming more important, because quite a lot of this newer Gen Z and millennials are looking for big brands to do more. So it's becoming more important to have that authenticity and be seen to be making a difference somewhere, mm-hmm, somehow to someone.
Yeah, that is, you know, hit the nail on the head there around the Gen Z specifically asking those curious questions of organizations. You know, as both of us, actually, Priya and I, you know, work with leaders and quite large organizations. And one of the key challenges and barriers facing some of these organizations is attracting the talent. And gone are the days where you could give them huge bonuses and lots of perks in that way. People are not really, I mean, they do care, obviously, but they're not as interested in that side of what they're doing. They're more interested in the social impact and the difference they're making in the communities that they live in and work in and support. And if you're not genuine with what you're doing, you're not going to keep and retain those individuals, because unlike, you know, even our generation, I would say, we were conditioned to, you know, go to university, get your degree, find a job, buy a house, pay a mortgage, and you kind of stayed in your town and city. You can't get a mortgage these days at the age of 22, 23. It's impossible to get a home, yeah, which means that you know, the young adults and young people have got more flexibility and to move around. And with the explosion of technology and hybrid working and flexible working, people can, most people in many kind of organizations can work flexibly mm-hmm. in how they do it from across the world or set up their own businesses. You know, I've met 22, 23 year olds who are setting up very successful consultancies and agencies and are absolutely killing it out there, doing incredible work. So you're competing with that as well. So it is, you know, to your point about being genuine, being authentic, and what are you doing internally to make a difference rather than demonstrating externally to your customers that we care is critical, I would say. You know what, Bardi, we could talk to you all day, obviously, because we have gone over the allocated time we said we were going to chat to you. But just to kind of end this conversation, what's your kind of number one tip to anybody who may be listening who is struggling to kind of identify their brand and who they are, or even whether they work for themselves or they work internally in an organization and they're looking for some creative ideas, where would you recommend that they start from?
I think a good starting point is to know what you're not, because sometimes it's harder to try and define what you are, and you could go down a bit of a rabbit hole. But sometimes when you start going, well, I'm definitely not that, you can start to see what you actually are or what's important to you. Brilliant. So yeah, that's sometimes quite a good starting point to start the process.
Yeah, that's great. What are you not? Incredible. And where can people find you if they wanted to connect with you?
So my website is thebrandingfox.com, and I'm The Branding Fox on all the social media channels as well. So
amazing. And we'll make sure we put it in our show notes as well. Thank you so much for your time today, Vardy. We really appreciate this conversation. Any final thoughts from you, Priya?
No, I thought that was great. I love that question. You know, what are you not? It's a great way to understand then who you are and define that.
Yeah, I loved it. Thank you so much, Vardy. We'll see you very soon.
No, thank you to you both as well.
Thank you so much for listening to our A Leader Like Me podcast.
Find us on socials and at aleaderlikeme.com.
And please do read our new book, Building a Culture of Inclusivity, Effective Internal Communication for Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. You can buy our book from anywhere you buy your books online.
And a discount code for our listeners is available. Just use the code ALLME20 at www.koganpage.com.
And please do reach out for us for any internal communication, change management, and DEI communication training and support your organization needs.
We have keynotes, workshops, and consulting programs available. Email us at info@aleaderlikeme.com.